As we sing this song, we encourage you to go find your seats.
Thank you.
19, verse 21 to 23 says, I thank you for answering my prayer and giving me victory. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see.
My hope is built on that.
that song, Cornerstone, was written by Reuben Morgan and his team. They wrote it because there was a massacre that happened, and I think like 200 plus people were killed. So they wrote it for the people who were aching and who were crying and mourning for their loved ones that passed away. And in the chorus it says, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. To me, it's saying that no matter what storm I go through, he's always going to be there for me. He is the Lord of my life, and I can always depend on him because he's my cornerstone. He's the foundation for my life.
No. sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
Question to Satan, where is the sting? It is no longer there. You know, this is a great reminder. We're entering into Easter, a great opportunity of His awesomeness. Just to recall, I'm going to ask the group to sing that again one more time before we get into the Pastor Ed's sermon. But I want us to remind us to sing that the stone has been rolled. loud. So I'm going to ask them to lead up on that point.
The ground began to shake. The storm was rolled away. Yet His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? A resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
Forever.
Now forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high.
Father, that today when we come before You, we must come knowing that the victory has been already accomplished. We no longer are under the subservient of sin, but we have victory over sin in our lives, Father. And it no longer has control over us. And if that is our story, Father, today, that we continue to live in sin, Father, we are not living in victory, but we are living in defeat. And so I pray, Father, that today we come before You. If that is what we are, I pray for us, Father, right now, that we reclaim that victory. As believers, we stand before You. One who claims the strength of God. God who had come down and given us the spirit of alive. The life of freedom. That's what we want to claim to You today, Father. That victory, we can know that forever He is risen. The sting of death has no longer a hold of us. And so I pray, Father, that in this room, that if there is anyone in this room today that is still living in that place, Father, I pray that You would lift their spirits, that this song has lifted them up, that a remembrance from His word, that it would encourage us to live life of victory. We ask this, Lord, in Your wonderful, precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'm going to ask if you can pass that, Pastor Ed.
Yeah.
I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you for all you guys that are here today. Thank you for worshiping with us. I just want to start out with a couple things. Number one, it's been, Pastor Ed is going to be speaking for the rest of the month. One of the things that I've been reading, I've been listening to this one radio station called Dr. Dobson's Family Talk. And there was a gentleman, and I've been talking about this with our group in Forney, but it's called The Harbinger. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the word, but it's a kind of a historical perspective from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 10. And the events of the catastrophic things that had happened in September of 2001, which is the towers going down. And then 7 years later, there was this event that transpired in the catastrophic event of our stock markets, going down. And he portrays all of these events. In fact, I was showing to my wife, and I'm going to make this very short. I was showing my wife when I was in New York and I was consulting there for the Bank of New York. I told her, I showed her this particular church. And this church is where George Washington and the Congress, for the very first time, and I know that if you are into politics, he actually, this is where the president does their inauguration on their annual basis, and he would speak in front of the Congress. The very first president of the United States was George Washington. And the, where they held the I'm having a hard time saying that word, but where he speaks in front of Congress was with this church. And he puts all of the things that were happening in Israel in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10, to what's happening today in the U.S. And it's a very interesting thing, and I'm not going to go into depth with it, but I was just telling Annie that when we went to this church, we took pictures, Rebecca, and I could still see Rebecca's. She was a very small, how old? She was 10 years old, about 10 years old. We were taking pictures because I didn't know the historical perspective of this, because we were there during the time when they were rebuilding the Twin Towers. In fact, I had a friend whose apartment was just right there, and we were watching it. But, it, you know, nonchalantly, I was just taking pictures with Rebecca and with Annie, just to kind of say we were in New York City. But I realized that when I've been reading this book, that that little place was the most, one of the most important from a historical point of view. But not just from a historical point of view, but also from a spiritual point of view, from the U.S. point of view. And I'm going to just say this. During the United States, when President George Washington stood before Congress, that in 1789 was the very first time when they went before the U.S., when they declared the United States of America, they committed this U.S. to God. All of Congress prayed for the direction of God's blessing upon the U.S. Stories unfolded, and I'm just going to give you a quick, long story short. Today, the United States is defiant against God. And I could tell you a little bit more about that. But because of that history, and here's the unfolding, the bottom line is, because of the blessing, they prayed and they were committed to God. God continued to bless them. In fact, there's no other country in the whole entire world that God has blessed other than America. None. That's why in 200 years, they have become the most powerful nation in the world. Today, they are becoming more and more defiant. And they're becoming more and more, you'll see that God is looking and not the word unblessing, but the cursing. God is cursing us. Because the warnings that he had shown through that is that he's asking us to return. Now, what's the application to us? I'm so glad that song came up. Because it told us a couple things. Are we turning to God? Or are we turning against God? There is no middle road. And I just want to encourage you. And I think Pastor Ed said that he's going to be talking in Revelation. Okay. So I want to encourage you to listen. One of the things that I'm a firm believer of is the more information you have in front of you, the more good decision you can make. And I want to encourage you that when we start listening about, that's why the Bible is about prophecy. The book of Daniel is about prophecy. And I just want to encourage you as he speaks to open your ears and to listen and see what God would share through him. So I'm going to ask him to do that. Pastor Ed, thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Lucian. Good morning. How are you today? Praise God. You know, let me piggyback on what Pastor Lucian has said. Actually, with regards to our topic for today, it's on Revelation chapter 3. And I am devoid of any technology except this one because my daughter is using it for the Sunday school. Thank you, sir. So I'll just have to go with what I have right now. And I think that's a good thing. In Revelation chapter 3, let me read this to you. But first, before I do that, let me give you a little introduction of what Pastor Lucian has said with regards to the U.S. of A, right? When we were back in our own home countries, we think of the USA as the land of milk and honey, the land of opportunity, right? The land that follows God and obeys God and worships God. But sadly, just a few years ago, or maybe even before that, but it has been more obvious these past few years, we have turned our backs on God. And that is the reason why I would like to present to you what the Word of God says with regards to who we are. Because if we look at Revelations regarding Christ's letter to the church in Laodicea, somehow you can see more like a similarity between the church in Laodicea and also the United States of America, right? Minus our president, of course. But what I'm trying to say is, with Laodicea, you know, they are what? Worshiping God. They are doing this, and yet there's something wrong with what they're doing, right? And without looking at the White House, let's look at what's going on with the churches here in the United States of America. And you can see a very close similarity. Let me read to you chapter 3, verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." I'm reading through New King James Version, and I believe that's our NIV, so it's almost the same. Verse 15, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Now, when you look at NIV, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Right? "I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Let us pray. Father, we just come before you, Lord God, with gladness in our hearts, because we have your word to live by. We know, Lord God, that through your words, Lord, we can overcome, because you have overcome the world. And your word, your very living word, equips us, strengthens us. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide me, Lord God, as I speak the truth to all of us. That you alone will be glorified. It is not us, Lord. It is not about us. But it is you alone. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So, what I'm going to do is, we're going to do it differently this time. right? Let's try to dissect what we have read. Because when was that? Friday night when I was at work, I had the opportunity to discuss God's word with one of my coworkers. And she just asked me, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes." "Are you?" She said, "Yes." And so we talked about Christianity, and then we talked about the Word of God, the Bible. And then he told me, "You know, but sometimes it's hard to read God's Word. It's hard to read the Bible, actually." That's what he said. And she said, I really seldom read the Bible." And I found out that she's a Catholic, and she was actually asking me, "So what religion are you?" And I was like, "Oh, non-denominational." "So you don't worship Mary?" I said, "No." And then she was like, "Oh," she did not ask for more, but she was really, really trying to see how we perceive God's word. And she was telling me that when she opens the Bible, it seems like it's hard for her to understand. And I told her, "You know what? I had the same feeling when I was a Catholic before, because the Bible is there, but I don't really open it, right? I claim to be Christian, and yet I don't open the Bible. I don't read the Bible." And when I accepted Christ and I opened the Word of God, what happened? I was trying to interpret the Bible based on my knowledge, not based on His truthfulness. And so I was having a hard time trying to really involve myself in the Bible study. You know, I would answer, and it seems like my answer is so different than the rest of the group. There were like five of us and one girl, and I would try to look intelligent in front of my Bible study mates, and I would answer, and I would give my opinion on what I have read. And it seems like, you know, when they say something different, I was like, "Huh? I didn't think of that, you know. How come they were able to view it differently?" It was because I was interpreting it based on human knowledge, because I didn't know anything about God's word, right? I only know that Christ died for us. So what I will do today is we will try to dissect this. Now let's read it again in verse 14. Brother John, if you can point to us the NIV, maybe that would be much better. Thank you, sir. "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen." Okay, let's hold on to that one. "These are the words of the Amen." Now, we're very familiar with the Amen, right? Amen? Amen. All right. So, yeah, we know about that, right? Whenever we are in the church, we're supposed to say Amen. Amen, right? What is Amen for us? Amen is more like to agree, right? I agree with what you're praying, brother. Or I agree with what you're saying, sister. So we say Amen, right? But this is what Christ is trying to tell John to write to the church in Laodicea. "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness." So who is the faithful and true witness for man? Right? What is he trying to say there? Who is he implying? The faithful and true witness for man. Jesus. Thank you, Sister Emily. Jesus. Anybody else? Do you have anybody else in mind? It's just Jesus, right? He's the true and faithful witness. And then the ruler of God's creation. So who is the ruler of God's creation? Jesus. Right? If we look back to John chapter 1, verse 1. We see about the Word, and everything was made through Him, and in Him nothing was made, right? So we know about that. And then, on the next verse, what do we see? Very strong message. "I know your deeds." Imagine. imagine you have a daughter and she's been doing a lot of stuff that normally teenagers do. And she was probably thinking, you know, I'm getting away with it because my parents don't know what I am doing, right? They don't know what I'm doing. So I'm getting away with it. And here comes God, and Christ says, what? I know your deeds. What if you, as a father or a mother, you come to your child, just like what I did yesterday. Although I'm not God, but some wonderful little bird told me what my daughter was doing. She's not here, so we can talk about her. So I came up to her. I came up to her immediately. When I got home, I asked her to come down so I can talk to her. She refused me 3 times, just like what Peter did. I was waiting for the rooster. But there was nothing from the rooster. So I waited for my wife to leave, and then I looked for her upstairs. And it just dawned on me that it's not good to have a house with a second floor, because it's hard to look for a child when they are really trying to get away from you. So I searched the rooms. She was not there. I searched the guest room. She was not there. And Alexa's room, she was not there. I even opened the attic. I was like, I don't think she would be staying there, you know. And finally, I found her sleeping behind the couch. So I woke her up, and then I said, what are you doing? And then she said, you know, some stuff, and I could not really understand. And I told her, you know, I know what you've been doing, so you got to tell me the truth. So just like what God is saying here. I know your deeds, right? Thinking that we could always get away with it, but God says, I know your deeds. And so, when we try to dissect that, what do you think God is telling you when he says, I know your deeds? Nothing is hidden from him. Amen? So that you are neither cold nor hot. You are neither cold nor hot. Now, if we look back in the history of Laodicea, it's about 100 miles away from Ephesus. And Laodicea is a very nice place. It's very productive. They have, probably, if you look at what we have today, they got big shopping malls, hot sauna, you know. And then they have discovered the eye ointment. Yes, so they have this eye salve. And that's the reason why when Christ was trying to tell John to write this letter, he mentioned what Laodicea has, right? He said, to apply the eye salve on your eye so you can see, right? We read that earlier. So it's a very prosperous town, Laodicea. But the only problem they have is they don't have access to water. So from, what's that other town? Is that Heracles or something? Starts with letter H. I'm sorry, I'm too old. I forget the name of the town. But they get that water by building aqueducts, more like pipes probably. And they get that, since that town has hot springs, so they get their warm water there. And then from Colossae, they get the cold water, right? And then it gets mixed. And then what do you have running out of your tap water? Lukewarm. Yeah, if you want to be warm, you look for Luke. You mix the hot and cold together, right? So you can be you can have a lukewarm. You know, me, John, and JR, when we come here, this room feels so cold in the morning, right? And then when people start coming in, then since our body emits what? Warmth, then we start to get comfortable, right? So that's the problem with Christians. When we're lukewarm, we're so comfortable. That's what Christ is saying here. I wish you were either one or the other. I wish you were either cold or you were either hot, not lukewarm. Otherwise, on the next verse, what would he do? So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. So, in the King James Version, I think it's the Greek interpretation, it's not spit, it's the vomit. So, if you look at your Sunday word, making God gag. Right? So, try drinking something, probably Coke. You drink Coke or soda, and then you don't put ice, right? It's warm. Try drinking it. What are you going to do? You spit it out. Ugh, I don't like that, right? Yeah. I mean, that's probably how God felt with this church, Laodicea. He wants to spit it out because it's lukewarm. It's not hot or not cold. And then let's go to the next verse. Because you say, I am rich. The U.S. of A. We say the richest nation in the world. The one who worships God. But not anymore. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. I am rich. We here in the United States of America, we are so blessed because according to a study, I think about 40 or 60% of the people are living below $2 a day wage. $2 a day. Now, for most of you, I saw an example of Francis Chan, what he did. He took $2, two $1 bill, he crumpled it, and then he threw it in the congregation. I'm not going to do that. I want my $2. So he threw it into the congregation, and then everybody was like, I don't want that $1 touch me, you know? They're trying to get away from that $1 bill. But he said, here's the thing. If we 40 to 60% of the people who are living below $2 a day, if you throw them a dollar, they're going to scramble and grab it. They're going to really go for it. But for us, we have comfortable lives. We're rich. We think we're rich and wealthy. And we got a house. We got a car. We got everything. We can buy everything, actually, right? Provided you have credit card. Then you consider yourself as rich based on the world standard. Right? But, Christ said, you do not realize that you are wretched. You are pitiful. You are poor. You are blind and you are naked. Now let me ask you, brothers and sisters. Those adjectives, does that define a believer? You are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. When someone tells you that, what do you think as a Christian? You think those are definitions for unbelievers, right? Those who do not really believe in God. But the church in Laodicea, they believe in God. But what is that definition, that names that Christ called them? They're wretched, they're pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So what does that tell us? What does that tell us? And then let's go to the next verse. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. What do you think God means with that? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Amen. What else? Clearing out impurities? What else? Depend on God? What else? The Word of God? What else? Gold refined in the fire. What else do you, what comes to your mind when you think about that? Yeah? It's polished to make it more beautiful. Pure? 24K. Now that's a world view. 24K. Thank you, Brother Lloyd. What else? You're being molded, right? What else can we think about gold refined in fire? What does the word tell us about having
tested.
Being, yes, when we're tested, what happens when we're being refined? What is that, Pastor Lucian? I'm sorry?
Trials.
What will happen to us when we go through those trials, those refinement, those taking away our impurities? What happens? We become mature. We become better. What else? Stronger. Become Christ-like. We become Christ-like. So Christ is encouraging those Laodiceans to be more Christ-like. Right? In order for us to be more Christ-like, we have to have faith. We have to have that faith and not doubt. Why do you think our Laodiceans are too lukewarm? They're comfortable. They're rich, yes, they have everything. So what happens? They're relaxed. They depend on themselves. They depend on themselves. And they don't depend on God anymore. They depend on themselves. Right? What about us? What about the US of A? We depend on ourselves. We got the best military in the world. Right? Brother Joe? Right? Yeah. We got the best military in the world. We got the best Navy, the best Marines, the best of the best. So we depend on ourselves. We don't need God. So we try to take God away from everything. Right? We try to take God away from everything. But look what God is telling us here. He says to buy gold refined in the fire from him, so you can become rich. So you can wear white clothes. I was thinking, why white clothes? I mean, you know, in Laodicea they that's the only place we're in. They breed those black sheep, and they have the best black wool that they were able to produce, and they're very well known for that, black wool. So Christ is trying to more like make a contrast on contrasting, what do you call this? Yeah, that thing. With regards to white clothes to wear. So you can cover your shameful nakedness. So you can cover your shameful nakedness. And salve, like an ointment to put on your eyes. Because they have discovered that, right? I think the name of the guy who was able to, Antiochus, I don't know if that's the one. And until now, we still use that symbol of a snake and a cane, right? Especially in the medical field. So we use that. We still use that. And that greatest medical discovery was in Laodicea. And salt to put on your eyes so you can see. Remember back in the Philippines when we have pink eye or sore eyes, we call them, right? And then you wake up in the morning, you can't even open your eyes because it's stuck to one, your eyelids are stuck to one another and you can't even see, right? You try to wash them off, and then what do? You put eye ointment, right? So you can see better. And then next verse, what do we see? Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Let's see that first sentence. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. What is Christ telling us here? Spanking children. Yeah. We discipline our children. Why? Because we love them. Remember our grandparents, after a good spanking, what do they tell you? I do that because I love you very much. And in your little mind, what do you say? I wish you don't love me that much. Right? Masyadong masakit, it hurts so much. But that's the thing, you know. What do Christians do when we get rebuked? When we get chased, when we get chastened by God? We complain. We turn away, we run away. Right? We run away. So be earnest and repent. He said, be earnest and repent. Now, you know what repent means, right? Repent is not, 45 or 360 degree turn, right? It's a 180 degree turn from sin. You walk away from sin. You don't, hi sin, you know, not like that. Now I'm getting dizzy. So, repent is really turning away from sin. And the next verse, wonderful. That is the love of God. Just imagine, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. What do you see here? I'm sorry, John? An invitation. What else do you see here? Don't look at me. I don't know anything. I'm just getting information from you guys. There is hope. What else? Assurance, reconnection. Love. Right. I will remember. Thank you, Sister Emily. I will remember your sin no more. Remember what Isaiah wrote. Right? No matter how sinful you are, God will clean it. God will wipe it off. And your heart will become as white as snow. And I will remember your sin no more. Praise God. That's why He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our time. He is worthy of what we have because of His love for us. Now, how would we know this if not for this little book? But what do we do with this book? What do we do with this book? For years and generations, people have been trying to destroy the Bible. And yet, it still stands today. And still is the best-selling book ever in the world. So God is there just standing outside the door of your heart, waiting for you to open the door and invite him in. So what is Christ telling the Laodicean church? That if they turn away from sin, what? Then he is there for them. Remember the Chronicles? We used to sing them back in the Catholic Church, remember? If my people will humble themselves, something like that, right? Humble themselves and pray. If his people will humble themselves and pray, what? He will hear from heaven and will forgive them their sins and will heal their land. That is a promise of God. And that is a promise for each and every one of us today. Let's go to the next verse. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. What do you understand from here? I'm sorry, sis?
Co-heirs.
You become co-heirs with Christ. What else? What else? Anybody else? To the one who is victorious. Let's see what victorious means. What does it mean? What does God mean by that? Brother Lloyd, you're raising your hand. Go ahead. Okay. Okay, the one who accepts Christ, the one who overcomes sin, the one who gets saved. What else? I'm sorry, Sister Joy? Huh? No, Victory Church? What else? If you remain in faith, remember when we come to meet somebody else who has the same faith, right? I would always say that. I mean, outside of this church, I would always say, okay, man, brother, I'll see you. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. You know? Because no matter what you're going through, you need to really stand firm and keep the faith. But here's the most wonderful thing here. In the second sentence, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. You know what that throne looks like? You know what that throne of God looks like? If you look at Revelation chapter 4, it's just so amazing how that throne looks like, especially the throne of the Father. He's seated in the center, right? And then this great, magnificent throne is surrounded by rainbow. Oh, rainbow. And then surrounding that are 24 elders seated on the throne with golden crowns on their heads. And above that are four beasts, all surrounded with eyes, each of them with six wings, and they have eyes all over. Now, I didn't read there if one of them is wearing eyeglasses or anything, but they got eyes. Can you just imagine that? They got eyes. Just imagine that. Four beasts, magnificent beasts. And the 24 elders, you know, and the beasts were saying, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And then the 24 elders would stand up on their throne and bow down before him and say, I'm trying to imitate what they're doing. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. And they bow down like that. And power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Just imagine that kind of throne, and then there's flashes of lightning surrounding that throne. Whoa, wow, great fireworks. And then here we are, we're so what? Focused on this tiny little world that we call planet Earth and trying to spend our time earning a lot of money, dedicating our time to ourselves, and not thinking of what the throne would be like if you're sitting beside Jesus Christ. Because that's His promise. Once you overcome, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. But we're just so focused with what the world can give for us, not with what God has promised for us to receive when we overcome. So I ask you, brothers and sisters, before I close, we've read what God says about the Laodicean church. The church that makes Him gag. The church that He says is lukewarm. The church that He says He's going to spit out of His mouth. Are we that church? Remember, He's not talking about the buildings. He's not talking about, maybe when you pass by a great big building of a church with all those magnificent decorations, oh, that's not Laodicean church, that's probably a Philippian church. No, He's not talking about buildings. He's talking about each and every one of us. How is our lives before Him? Are we lukewarm? Are we hot? Are we cold? Or we're just comfortable, coming to church every Sunday, going home, and not really thinking about what the future can bring for us as God has promised us. I guess it's about time that we really reflect on what we want to do with our lives, what we want to do with this church, this body of believers, brothers and sisters. Will we be sitting with Him on His throne? Or we're still busy making our own thrones for ourselves, for our families, for our loved ones? Because God actually is telling us right now. You know, good thing Pastor Lucian has said about that radio that he was listening to. I also listened to that radio. And there was one time that one of those pastor announcers, he was saying, you know, no matter how long it has been since John the Baptist has been crying out in the desert to repent because the end is near. That's 2,000 years ago. Actually, it still resonates up to this time because we don't know when Christ is coming, and we don't want you to be taken, surprised? Maybe tomorrow He's coming? And what have we done with our lives? Oh, you know what, brother? My great 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 grandfather has been saying about the end of times. He's been talking about repenting, and he died and gone, and we've forgotten about him already. But Christ still has not come. That is the reasoning of the people who has lost interest in God. But are we, as believers, as Christians, have we lost that interest that we don't think about it anymore? You know, in Tagalog we say, bahala na, right? In English, that's come what may. Are you sure? You want to say come what may? We want all of us to be prepared when He comes. The Word of God teaches us to be prepared all the time. You know, We can even read about the parable of the 12 virgins, right? The six of them ran out of oil and they don't have any light anymore. But the other half, they still have the oil because they brought extra. They came prepared, and when the groom came, they were there with the groom. But the other virgins, they were left outside of the door. And it closed on them. Do we want to be like that? Lord, Lord, you know, I've been always calling you Lord, but the Word of God says, not all of the people who call him Lord will be saved because of how we live our lives. Again, let me read to you what I found here from the author is Mitchell in his book, Let's Live. He says, in one little Midwestern town, Miss Jones had the distinction of being the oldest resident in town. So when she died, the editor of the local paper wanted to print a little article remembering this dear old lady. Except he couldn't think of anything to say when he sat down to write the article. Miss Jones had never done anything terribly wrong. She had never spent a night in jail or had ever been drunk. On the other hand, she had never done anything significant. With this still on his mind, the editor went to the local cafe and there ran into the local funeral director. He too was having the same trouble. He wanted to put something on Miss Jones' tombstone besides Miss Nancy Jones, born such and such a date and died such and such a date. But he couldn't think of anything to write either. The editor decided to go back to his office and sign the job of writing up a small article for both the paper and the tombstone to the first reporter he saw. When he got to the office, lo and behold, he came across that sports editor who got the assignment, of course. So somewhere in some little community in the Midwest, there is a tombstone which reads like this. Here lie the bones of Nancy Jones, for her life held no terrors. She lived and an old maid. She died an old maid. No hits, no runs, no errors. Because the person who wrote this would remember a sports editor, right? Do we want to be known like that? No hits, no runs, no errors. A church who does not do anything. A lukewarm church. A church, a Christian who is living comfortably in the world. Do we want to be like that? I want you all to really think about this. And I encourage you now as I pray that you reflect in your lives. I want you to ask yourself, how is my life today? Am I neither hot nor cold? Am I living a life that is really on fire with God? Or am I living a life that's too lukewarm? That's just living comfortably. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word, O God. We know, Lord God, that your word is living and active. It pierces through bone and marrow. And it will never come back empty. We thank you, Lord God, for showing to us that we, as believers in Christ, we claim to be believers in Christ, that we should not live our lives the way the world lives. That we should give priority to you, O Lord. That we should always put you first in our lives. Father, allow your Holy Spirit, O God, to just search our hearts today. That if we are thinking, Lord God, maybe we're living a very lukewarm life, a life that is not lived according to your will and purpose, Lord, give us that strength to be able to overcome our complacency, our apathy. Give us that strength, Lord God, to truly live the life that you have called us to live. We honor you today, Lord, and we thank you for such a love and grace that you always show to us. May you, Lord, continue to be glorified in our lives. We open our heart's door to you, O God, and we ask you to take control of our desires. Take control of our lives, Lord, today. That we may be called a faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing this song. Let's all stand, please.
Breath he gave, his heavenly. Please sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing
Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for a wonderful presence. We thank you for your love, O God. We thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord God, if we have identified anything in our lives that make us lukewarm in you, Father, we pray that you give us the strength to overcome that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.
As you stand remaining, just a couple announcements. Okay. I wish that everybody was able to participate this past Friday. I think we had about how many? 50? About 50 people come from different groups, some from Houston, all the way up to, there was another group real close in Garland, but they had to go home due to the fact that they were wearing shorts rather than the proper attire. While the rain came softly at times, God really blessed it. I think there was great opportunity of fellowshipping, great opportunity of a lot of young people. And I was just talking to the other group with Pastor Labak, which is the Acts group. Hopefully, this is just the beginning of these kind of things. Number two, don't forget, I'm going to ask if John could just kind of put some of the things up there, but don't forget Easter, number one, we're coming up soon, and we're going to be planning that. It's a plan already, but I just want you to encourage and invite your friends. Number two, don't forget the, and I'm just going to, if it's not up there, I'm just going to say it, the small groups. Small groups are very, very critical point of this whole ministry. I'm a firm believer of it. I think that that's the only way you'll move forward in your spiritual walk. So be involved. There are three groups right now that meets, the Transformers, They meet when? Saturday. The Crucible, they meet Tuesdays and Thursdays, whichever the week is, and the Conquerors. Yeah. Okay, and they meet also on Saturdays at Emily's. So I would encourage you. Who are those? No, that's the Crucible. So I want to encourage you to try to meet up with the small groups. Small groups are the critical parts of this ministry. Any other announcement that you guys want to say before we close in a word of prayer? And then the final song. Youth camp. Thank you. Thanks for it. We got to make a decision here. I think ultimately, I'm going to ask. Go ahead. Okay. Okay. No, Leah, go ahead. Okay, okay. That was a good communication link between her and I. Basically, March, the end of the March, you got to make a decision. Either way, we go or not. If we don't go, there are alternatives that we have been talking about. That alternatives is actually somewhere closer here to Austin or possibly another area, but it is actually a missions group. And it's a totally different group. It's a group of... You go and minister either by building places or you do care therapy. I think one of these things is called horse. Yeah, I didn't want to mention that, but there was a horse therapy. I don't know what that was about, but they do have horse therapy. I don't know if that's you walking a horse around and make him feel good, but that was one of them. But that's not the one we were encouraging. But if you need therapy with a horse, okay. We would encourage you to come and come with along. But this group, actually, they work hard. The time is from 6:30, and then they come together and have worship every Sunday, every night from 7:30, and then start the whole thing up again. Mission trip, that was the whole thing. Any other ones? Youth group, they meet on Fridays. And we're going to have a what? Nope, at the end of the month, end of the year. Not this, so it's not always that. Okay, I'm going to let them sing their final song. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be.